Tom Scott, the news from Ford County for the week of January 17, 2021. First, the latest press releases from the local public health departments. From Ford County Public Health, this is current as of January 21, 2021. There have been a total of 1,400 cases, and that's an increase of 32 from our last broadcast. There are a total of 20,393 tested, and there have been a total of 41 deaths, which is an increase of 1 since our last broadcast. From the Iroquois County Public Health Department, and this is dated as of January 20th, 2021, there are 2,612 total cases, an increase of 68. There are a total of 56 people have passed away, which is an increase of 3. The females, 55.2% of the cases, males, 44.8%. Total test results, 33,970. Of those, 31,358 negative results, and total laboratory confirmed positive results, 2,234. Total probable test positive results, 378. The positivity rate is 6.6%. We'll start in the Ford County Chronicle with more COVID news, headlined, Region 6 moves to Phase 4 and Region 7 advances to Tier 1. Paxton. The Illinois Department of Public Health Thursday announced Region 6, Champaign, Clark, Clay, Coles, Crawford, Cumberland, DeWitt, Douglas, Edgar, Effingham, Fayette, Ford, Iroquois, Jasper, Lawrence, Mason, Moultrie, Piatt, Richland, Shelby, and Vermilion counties is returning to Phase 4 of the Restore Plan, and Region 7, Kankakee and Will counties, is advancing to Tier 1. Information about which tier and phase regions are in can be found at the top of the Illinois Department of Public Health webpage. I am excited that 10 out of our 11 regions have moved out of Tier 3 mitigation, said IDPH Director Dr. Ngozi Ezike. However, this does not mean we can let our guard down. We must continue to practice actions to protect ourselves from the virus, wear our masks, avoid large gatherings, and get the vaccine when it is our turn. This is particularly critical as new variants circulate, which early studies show spread much more rapidly. We are headed in the right direction once again, so let's stay the course. Illinois Department of Public Health will continue to monitor test positivity, ICU bed availability, and the number of people in the hospital with COVID-19. Should data show regions trending in the wrong direction based on the established mitigation metrics, regions could once again find themselves in a higher tier with increased measures. Metrics for the moving from the higher to a lower tier are as follows. Moving from Tier 3 to Tier 2, a test positivity rate at or below 8% and below 12% for 3 consecutive days, and staff to ICU bed availability is greater than 20% for 3 consecutive days, and sustained decline in COVID-19 patients in the hospital. Moving from Tier 2 to Tier 1, test positivity rate between 6.5% and 8% for 3 consecutive days, staff to ICU bed availability greater than 20% for 3 consecutive days, and no sustained increase in COVID patients in hospital. And moving from Tier 1 to Phase 4, test positivity rate is greater than 8% but below 12% for 3 consecutive days, and staffed ICU availability at greater than 20% for 3 consecutive days, and no sustained increase in COVID patients in hospital. In Phase 4, there is a continued decline in the rate of infection in new COVID-19 cases. Hospitals have capacity and can quickly adapt to a surge in new cases in their communities. Additional measures can be carefully lifted, allowing for schools and childcare programs to reopen with social distancing policies in place. Restaurants can open with limited capacity and following strict public health procedures, including personal protective equipment for employees, Gatherings with 50 or fewer people will be permitted. Testing is widely available and tracing is commonplace. Gatherings of 50 people or fewer are allowed, with this limit subject to change based on latest data and guidance. And with travel should follow Illinois Department of Public Health and Centers for Disease Control approved practice. All healthcare providers are open. Pre-K to 12 schools, higher education, all summer programs, and child care open within Illinois Department of Public Health approved safety guidance. All outdoor recreation is allowed. Mall manufacturing is open with Illinois Department of Public Health approved safety practice. Non-essential businesses, all employees return to work with Illinois Department of Public Health approved safety guidance. Employers are encouraged to provide accommodations for COVID-19 vulnerable employees. Bars and restaurants are open with capacity limits and Illinois Department of Public Health approved safety guidance. Personal care services and health clubs, all barbershops, salons, spas, and health fitness clubs are open with capacity limits and approved safety guidance. And cinemas and theaters open with capacity limits and approved safety guidance. In retail, open with capacity limits and approved safety guidance. Information about mitigation and resurgence metrics can be found on the Illinois Department of Health website. Also in the Ford County Chronicle, single parent seminar to take place at local church in Gibson City. A single parent seminar will be hosted at Gibson City Bible Church. Single and Parenting is a seminar with a small group discussion that will offer hope, encouragement, and tools to strengthen single parents, according to Lori Patton, a facilitator for Single and Parenting. The new session will start Monday, February 1st at 6:30 p.m. and will end on April 26th, either in person or via Zoom. Interested participants are asked to join any week as the topics are different in each week. Topics range from tired and overwhelmed, your children and your fears, to conflict and resolution, and more. Anyone wanting to sign up can call the church office or on the web at www.singleparenting.org and use 60936 in the Find a Group search box. Contact and location is the Gibson City Bible Church. Their phone number is 217-784-5702 or via email at gcbible@gibsoncitybible.org. The church is located at 309 North State Route 47 in Gibson City. Now we'll turn to the Ford County Record on the front page with a story headlined Cox Sworn In at Paxton City Council Meeting. Paxton resident Kendall Cox was sworn in at the Paxton City Council meeting and will represent Paxton's Ward 3. The council concurred with Mayor Bill Ingold's appointment of Cox to fill the seat left vacant by Cammie Johnson Anderson when she became County Circuit Clerk. Cox has already filed a petition to run for the seat in the one spring consolidated election. He, with a partner, owns the Knox Knapp Funeral Home in Paxton. Also, the council agreed to buy a brand new Case 580SN backhoe from Berkey's Construction Equipment of Urbana for $67,500 after the trade-in of a 2009 machine with 3,300 hours on it. The council also agreed to purchase a 3/4-ton pickup truck from Champaign Ford City for $29,000. At the same time, it declared several other pickups surplus property. They will be displayed for sale in front of the police department on Route 45, and the council designated Ingold to handle the sale of those vehicles. Also, the council agreed to sell a small parcel of city-owned property on West Pine Street to Larry Biggs for $4,000. Biggs owns the adjoining property. Also, Ingold announced that the environmental study that had to be completed for the new downtown streetscape project to proceed is done. Ingold hopes the city can seek bids for the project soon. He said he will check with a representative from Ameren about the safety of the current downtown electric poles. The one in front of 102 South Market fell on its own after accumulating a heavy layer of ice during the recent ice storm. The metal at the bottom of the pole just gave way. All the poles will be placed ultimately during the streetscape project. Ingall noted that the town Christmas tree and decorative lighted snowflakes have remained up this year longer than usual. That is because city crews were so busy the first week of the month cleaning up after the storm. And Police Chief Coy Cornett told the council that he has commended two police officers, Thomas Sink and Trevor Norris, for reviving a drug overdose victim. And from the Ford County Board considers personnel matters at meeting. After a lengthy discussion about who is essential personnel, the Ford County Board passed the matter on to its personnel committee, which was to meet January 19th, but that meeting was canceled. Board President Deb Smith wanted to assess the board's thoughts on who is essential and therefore must appear in person at the courthouse to work, so the requirements could be included in the employee handbook. But State's Attorney Andrew Killian said there are very few employees under the county board's jurisdiction. The elected department heads aren't, nor are the appointed engineer or the supervisor of assessments. And the circuit clerk and state's attorney offices employees aren't either. The governor has already designated all government employees essential during the pandemic. Board member Tom McQuinn said that if the courthouse offices are open, then they must be staffed, but he doesn't think that means they cannot work from home. Smith has expressed dissatisfaction over several months that at least one department head continues to work from home. Also, various department heads expressed thanks for the pizza lunches at Christmas time paid for by the individual board members, not the taxpayers, said Smith. And others said the individual birthday cards and gift cards paid for by Smith have been good for morale. Also, the board approved various law enforcement contracts with county villages. Roberts will pay $7,735, Melvin $10,646, Elliott $7,700, and Kempton $6,253. It approved dispatching contracts with the City of Gibson City and the Gibson Area Ambulance Service for $20,000 each. All amounts are unchanged from last year. Also, Sheriff Mark Duran reported that the county is working together with the Gibson Area Hospital on securing coronavirus vaccinations for staff. He also reported that each office in the courthouse has a separate ventilation system, but it is not true at the jail. He spent some time discussing the implications of the police reform bill ultimately passed by the Illinois House and Senate in lame duck session. Susie Schell reported that the probation department has been working on reestablishing the diversion program for those under 18 and other first-time offenders, depending on the seriousness of the crime. A successfully completed diversion program, including such things as community service, means an offender would be left with no record. Also, committee chair Chuck Aubrey reported that he plans to hold meetings four times a year, and Cindy Erke, who heads the overview committee, plans for twice yearly meetings. Killian reported that zoning enforcement officer Brandon Magers continues to review Apex plans for a proposed wind farm near Sibley. And circuit clerk Cammie Johnson Anderson discussed upcoming jury trials. But later in the week, she announced that all jury trials have been postponed till April. Now an article with good news. Ford County Good Citizens Award winners announced. Each year, the National Society of Daughters of the American Revolution and the National Society of Sons of the American Revolution sponsor the Good Citizens program that is open to high school seniors enrolled in public or private schools accredited by their State Board of Education. The program is intended to encourage and reward the qualities of good citizenship. The Governor Thomas Ford chapter of the National Society of Daughters of the American Revolution and the Piangshaw chapter of the National Sons of the American Revolution sponsored the contest in Ford County. The four Ford County seniors that have been named Good Citizens winners were selected because they show dependability, service, leadership, and patriotism. This year's DAR Good Citizen winners were Ella Curry, a senior at PBL High School, and Haven Hathaway, a senior at GCMS High School. Liam McMullen, a senior at PBL, and Nathan Kellel, a senior at GCMS, were named the 2021 SAR Good Citizen winners. About each award recipient. Ella Curry of Loda is the daughter of Robert and Michelle Curry. Her high school activities and accomplishments have included participating in volleyball, scholastic ball, show choir, the head dance captain, math team, student council as the secretary, class secretary for 4 years, the Give Club, co-president, choir, Blue Crew, yearbook staff, and National Honor Society member for 3 years. Her community activities have included volunteering at a soup kitchen, church youth group, working for the Park District with youth volleyball, and student representative on the Church Administrative Council. Ella plans to attend a 4-year university to study nursing. She would like to go on to earn her master's to be a neonatal nurse practitioner. Liam McCullen of Loda is the son of Kelly and Jennifer McMullen. His high school activities and accomplishments have included cross country, track and field, student council, vice president, math team, state qualifier, scholastic bowl, varsity captain, and all-conference award, winner running, robotics, Panther Pal, peer tutor, bridge team, Blue Crew, and a National Honor Society member for 3 years. He was selected to attend the Eastern Illini Electric Co-op Conference Leadership Conference at Springfield and Washington, D.C., and Boy State. Liam received the Rural Small Town Recognition Award from the College Board Recognition Program and was named a National Merit Commended Scholar by the National Merit Scholarship Corporation. Haven Hathaway is the daughter of Parker and Sandy Hathaway of Gibson City. Her high school activities and accomplishments have included ACT Theater Club, OLL Youth Group, Chamber Choir, Concert Choir, Future Business Leaders of America, High School Musicals, Spanish Club, Impact Club, Interact Club, Multimedia Journalism, National Honor Society, Project Ignition, Red Army, Student Council Yearbook Club, and football and basketball dance teams. She served as president of her class for 3 years, 2021 Interact Club president, dance team captain, and concert choir officer and section leader. Her honors and awards include being named Freshman and Junior English Student of the Year, Sophomore Foreign Language Student of the Year, October Student of the Month, High Honor Roll Member, MVP of the Football and Basketball Dance Teams. Outside of school, she has volunteered at the local food pantry and as a server for Meals on Wheels, for the FARA Ride at Interact Club, American Red Cross Blood Drives, and at the OLL Thanksgiving Dinner. Hathaway plans to attend a 4-year university to study fashion merchandising and journalism. Nathan Kalal of Gibson City is the son of Bruce and Stephanie Kalal. His high school activities and accomplishments have included Interact, Student Council, FBLA, FLA, Spanish Club, Freshman Mentor, Red Army, Football, Captain in his senior year, Basketball, Baseball, Golf, and National Honor Society member for 2 years. His honors received including being named Freshman Math Student of the Year, Business Student of the Year, Sophomore and Junior Years, and Student of the Year in 2020. His community activities have included the 40 Iroquois Legion baseball team member, youth baseball umpire, and volunteering at the food pantry. Nathan plans to attend a 4-year university to pursue an engineering degree. The Governor Thomas Ford chapter of the NSDAR will host a program to honor the four students on Sunday, April 18, 2021, at the historical Ford County Sheriff's Residence in Paxton, Illinois. The DAR is a lineage society. That means each member has traced her family tree back to a point of having an ancestor who supported the cause of the American independence during the years 1775 to 1783. Now the Ford County obituaries for the week of January 17, 2021. Doris Bielfeldt, anchor. Doris Bielefeld, 97, of Anchor, passed away at 6:25 p.m., January 14, 2021, at the Gibson Area Hospital Annex. Graveside service was held Monday, January 18, 2021, at St. John's Lutheran Church Cemetery. Memorials may be made to St. John's Lutheran Church Cemetery, the Salvation Army, or the Home Sweet Home Mission. Harry Ox III. Harry Tillman Ox III, age 77, of Savoy, Illinois, died on January 12, 2021, at Accolade Healthcare Senior Living in Paxton. Graveside services will be at a later date at the family plot in Grandview Cemetery, Allentown, Pennsylvania. Joy Elizabeth Lade Moreland. Joy Elizabeth Lade Moreland, 64, of Paxton, passed away at 1:04 a.m., Tuesday, January 12, 2021, at Carroll Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A graveside service will be held at a later date at Liberty Cemetery in Iroquois County. Memorials may be made to her family. Donald D. Dean Hansen. Donald Dean Hansen, 76, of Gibson City, passed away at 2:06 a.m. on Monday, January 11, 2021, at Carroll Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Visitation and funeral services were held Thursday, January 14, at the Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be made to the Sibley 4th of July. Jean R. Breeden. Jean R. Breeden, Sr., 75, of Loda, passed away on Sunday, January 17, 2021, at his home. Funeral services were held at 10 a.m. on Friday, January 22nd, at the Cox Knapp Funeral Home in Paxton, with Pastor Terry Cooper officiating. Memorials may be made to the Iroquois Memorial Hospice. Gerald Ditchfield. Gerald P. Jerry Ditchfield, 73, of Paxton, passed away at 9:21 a.m., Tuesday, January 19th, at the Illinois Veterans Home in Manteno. A graveside service will be held at 10 a.m., Saturday, January 23rd, at Glen Cemetery in Paxton, with Father Dong Van Bui officiating. Military funeral honors will be conducted by American Legion Prairie Post 150. Visitation will be from 6 to 8 p.m. Friday, January 22nd at Bayer Family Funeral Services in Paxton, preceded by a rosary beginning at 5:30 p.m. Memorials may be made to St. Mary's Catholic Church in Paxton or an organization of the donor's choice. And we'll return to the Ford County Record now with more about the Gibson City 150th birthday celebration. Time capsule to be opened as part of Gibson City's 150th birthday celebration. Gibson City. The Gibson City Historical Committee and City of Gibson are teaming up to make plans for celebrating the town's 150th birthday, organizing events throughout the year to recognize Gibson City's sesquicentennial. A highlight will be in May, when a time capsule buried as part of the town's centennial celebration in 1971, will be opened. A new time capsule will be buried, and organizers will collect items to be buried in May. Anyone who has items they feel are timely should put their names on them and drop them off with Sharon Haveland at the Moyer Library. The committee will decide which items to include. Those items not included will be available to pick up at the library. Look for the sesquicentennial to be announced via large banners and banners on downtown light posts soon. Any individuals or organizations interested in helping to plan the year-long celebration and events should contact Haveland at the library. Memories of a longtime resident, Mary Tim. Mary Tim has lived in Gibson City since 1957. She was 31 when her husband, Eugene, chiropractor, opened an office there. after having lived in St. Louis for 6 years and then for a short time in southern Illinois. I'm very grateful because it has been a marvelous, wonderful place to raise a family, Tim said. I like the idea of a smaller area. I always felt very comfortable here. 3 out of 4 of Tim's children have lived in Gibson City their entire lives. She has watched 9 grandchildren graduate from school there and now has 4 great-grandsons. After living 47 years in the same house, the former city treasurer, alderwoman, and planning commission member decided to move into assisted living. Her granddaughter and her husband bought the house. So those little boys are growing up in the same house their grandpa did, she said. Over the years, Tim has knitted and donated over 1,000 baby hats to Gibson Area Hospital. She has also crocheted about 100 lap rolls for the area nursing home residents and baby blankets for the hospital. Word soon spread around town, and she rarely had to buy supplies. It was not unusual to step out on my porch in the morning and find a bag of yarn, she said. Tillman taught Sunday school at her Lutheran church for 53 years, served on the board of a nonprofit organization, Telecare, and volunteered for the Moose Club, American Legion, and Red Cross. She explained that she enjoys doing things to give to others comfort. Even here, I'm in assisted living, if I see somebody looking very lonely, I wheel myself over and at least give them a good morning smile, she said. And it's amazing how quickly their faces light up and they feel at home. And finally, blood drive set for February 15th in Gibson City. The Gibson Area Hospital Auxiliary will sponsor an American Red Cross blood drive on Monday, February 15th, 2021. From noon to 5:30 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church at 401 North Church Street in Gibson City. Please bring your blood donor card and a photo ID. Appointments are encouraged because Red Cross sends staff to take care of the donors in a timely manner by the number of appointments. If you are not on our regular calling list, please call Sharon at 217-249-8103 to make an appointment online or to make an appointment online at redcrossblood.org. Please make your appointment by Wednesday, February 9, 2021. To help save time, we are excited to announce RapidPass. RapidPass is a new tool that allows you to complete pre-reading and health history questions online from the comfort and privacy of your home or office. By using RapidPass, you can reduce the time you spend at the blood drive by up to 15 minutes. You can learn more by visiting redcrossblood.org/rapidpass. There are also directions at the Moyer District Library on Sangamon Avenue in Gibson City. Your temperature will be taken before registration, and masks are required. Presenting donors can enter a drawing to win one of the 2 $10 gift certificates for the GAH gift shop or one of the 2 $25 Gibson Bucks sponsored by the Gibson Area Hospital Auxiliary at this drive. Donating blood is safe and easy and takes about 1 hour. Donors must be healthy, at least 17 years old. There is no upper age limit. Donors must weigh at least 110 pounds and wait 56 days between donations. You are eligible if you donated on or before December 21st, 2020. Donors should eat a good meal within 4 hours before donating. All blood types are needed, especially types O and all Rh negatives. The number of blood donations helped Gibson Area Hospital on the cost of the blood that is purchased for their needs. Come help, save lives. And that's all the time we have for this week's reading of the news from Ford County. This is Tom Scott. I look forward to reading with you again real soon.